This is a Triple J podcast.
G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hacks Deep Dive, and we've got to talk about the thing that everyone is talking about, fuel prices, because the cost of filling up is just becoming extraordinary. We've got people reporting fuel well over $3 a litre, while some service stations have even run out. So what is the government doing to bring down fuel prices, to make it cheaper when you fill up? Well, according to the Prime Minister, relief is on the way. He announced a cut to the tax put on every litre of fuel. Basically, for the next 3 months, the fuel excise will be reduced by 26 cents a litre. The Prime Minister and state and territory leaders also agreeing to a plan for the government to take actions to limit fuel use.
We're making fuel cheaper today because we understand that Australians are under serious pressure.
But for many young Australians, the soaring prices have already had a huge impact on their lives.
I'm actually getting paid less than what I was putting in my car each day to get to work.
While the government has encouraged people to use public transport, the reality is that's not a possibility for a lot of people in the country.
Can't exactly pick the grapes from your lounge room.
So is all of this going to work? What is the fuel excise and how much less will you be paying? Well, in a bit you're going to hear from the Shadow Treasurer Tim Wilson, but first Hack political reporter Evelyn Manfield explains.
We all know that fuel's expensive, but for some people it's crippling. Like 28-year-old Tam Stevens from regional Victoria, who's had to quit her job.
I'm actually getting paid less than what I was putting in my car each day to get to work.
Tam works in finance from contract to contract, and from her tiny town of Pura Pura, it takes up to 2 hours to get to work in either Ballarat or Melbourne.
It doesn't make any sense, so I just thought, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not sure what to do. I might have to get Centrelink or something.
It's that or helping out on her partner's wheat and sheep farm.
Not my forte or my area of experience, but I guess I'll be picking up the tools, you know.
But there too, the fuel crisis is also taking a hit.
We only got half of our fuel delivered that we ordered, so they've actually rationed us without even telling us.
If you're hitting the road this Easter weekend, you'll know fuel prices are way higher than they were a few weeks ago, while hundreds of servos are out of at least one type of fuel. On Monday this week, the Prime Minister and the state and territory leaders had a big meeting. Anthony Albanese then announced a halving of the tax put on every litre of fuel by 26.3 cents. It came in on Wednesday and it's already made servo prices for everyone cheaper, but it's costing the budget $2.5 billion.
We're making fuel cheaper today because we understand that Australians are under serious pressure.
The government's also saying the ACCC will keep an eye on prices to make sure the servos pass the cut on. On top of that, there's a four-point plan. We're at level two, which is about voluntary choices to use less fuel, like you should take the bus or walk if you can.
We really also want to encourage Australians who can to take public transport to help save fuel for the areas and industries that need it.
While scrapping your Easter holiday would have helped save fuel, the PM's also been saying this week, don't do that.
People should enjoy their Easter. And it's important as well that we keep the economy going. Easter's an important time for tourism, destinations, for jobs.
Levels 3 and 4 get tougher. There could eventually be a stronger crackdown on demand to make sure fuel is there for critical use. But as of today,
we are substantially away from that.
Because fuel's coming in.
Literally, shiploads of fuel. Got to be careful how I say that. Shiploads of fuel are arriving.
There are other changes too, with governments in Victoria and Tassie making public transport free temporarily. But not everyone has options like that, like Luke Barbuto, who works at a winery in the Hunter Valley.
Can't exactly pick the grapes from your lounge room, so.
He's trying to walk to the shops and carpool, but he still needs to drive to work from Newcastle.
It's basically consuming about 10% of my take-home pay now, with just how much I'm driving and, yeah, the cost of fuel.
I went to the media conference on Monday and asked the Prime Minister and Treasurer if there'll be more help with cost of living coming, especially for young people in the regions.
We always consider cost of living measures, but one of the things about July 1 as well, of course, is that our tax cuts come in, our top-up tax cuts, that will make a difference, particularly for low and middle income earners.
One of the reasons why we landed on this approach to providing more cost of living relief in what we're announcing today is because for people who unavoidably have to drive longer distances, the benefit will be greater.
This is Hack on Triple J.
Hack political reporter Evelyn Manfield reporting there from Canberra. I should say we did ask to speak with the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, the Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, and the Energy Minister, Chris Bowen. They were not available to speak with Hack. We do have the Shadow Treasurer, Tim Wilson, with us. Tim Wilson, welcome to Hack.
Thank you for having me.
The government's announced it's halving the fuel excise for 3 months. That's what the coalition's been calling for. So presumably you think they've done the right thing here.
Well, it's definitely welcome. The only critique we have is that when we put it forward, we proposed a series of offset measures so that it wouldn't be inflationary. In question time, I asked the Treasurer whether he had offered any offsets so that it wouldn't be inflationary, and he, you know, blathered and ignored answering the question, which means that it's only going to compound the problem of inflation that Australians are already experiencing, which is leading to higher interest rates.
Is the real issue here that we just don't know what impact this is going to have on inflation for some time, at least a few weeks?
We know from the entirety of economic history that if you have a significant increase in liquid fuel costs that go into freighting food from farms to distribution centres, from distribution centres to warehouses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's going to have an inflationary cost on the cost of goods when you get to your trolley at the supermarket.
The government's gone maybe a bit further than what Angus Taylor was saying he wanted, because Angus Taylor was asking for the heavy vehicle charge to be cut in half for 3 months, where the government's saying we're going to scrap it for 3 months. Was your plan offering enough support to truckies and to Australians?
The short answer is yes, because, of course, we were addressing the fundamental problems being driven by international events, but we weren't seeking to stoke inflation.
So what do you do in the short term then? Because there are other countries like New Zealand who are offering targeted support to families in particular. Do you think that maybe we need targeted support here in Australia?
Well, that's precisely what we were seeking to do with our proposal of a 50% cut on the fuel excise.
But more targeted than that, in particular to young Australians, for example, who are telling us right now that many of them can't go to work, they can't go to uni, some are even camping at their workplaces just so they don't have to pay for fuel.
And this is real. I mean, you've seen the Victorian government, as an example, offering free public transport to incentivise people to, one, get off the roads, and secondly, to use alternative arrangements. Everybody's going to be in different sets of circumstances. And, of course, we're still watching as this evolves. We're all hoping this crisis ends soon.
But would you support more targeted support for vulnerable Australians?
Well, I'm not going to give a blank check to handing more money out when so far the only thing the government has done is to provide a measure that doesn't have offsets for inflation, because that just means you're giving with one hand and you're taking with the other, and that's the problem with the government's approach. So I don't want to see us in a situation where I'm giving the government a blank check to keep stoking inflation. They kept the inflation fire alive by pouring debt petrol on it before this crisis. As a consequence, the flame of inflation has been burning. I want to see it snuffed out, because every time inflation persists, interest rates go up.
But is it okay enough to say, well, we just don't want to stoke inflation, but we don't have any real support in mind for these Australians who are doing it tough? Because if you are struggling right now and you're looking to the coalition and wondering what your plan is, what can you offer them?
We led the conversation around the diesel fuel rebate. The hope is that this conflict will end and we will watch it as things continue to move on. But the government keeps saying to us there's more fuel now than there was at the start of this crisis. So we want that, and we made calls on this to make sure that the fuel's being moved to petrol bowsers so people can get access to it with the reduction in the cost of the excise, so that people can afford to pay fuel.
What about rationing of fuel? Is that something the coalition supports?
Well, at this point, the government has said that they have more fuel in Australia today than they did at the start of the crisis. So I just can't see why we would race to that conversation until that is no longer the case. unless the government, of course, has been lying to us and they don't have more fuel than they did at the start of the crisis.
Got someone on the text line now saying the fuel discount will just drive a demand in fuel purchases, which will drive prices up more. It'll result in the same or higher prices anyway. That's what that person is saying. Also hearing from you on Hack's Instagram. Eamon saying, my fuel bill last week was $450. I drive 1.5 hours to work each day. And Molly saying, I have to ride my bike to work now and it takes an hour. Tim Wilson, politicians like Senator David Pocock are calling for a 25% tax on gas exports. And this idea has started to gain a bit of support from politicians across the board. You're the shadow treasurer. Do you support a gas tax?
Well, it would very much depend on how these things are ultimately going to be designed. And I'm not sure that's necessarily the best way to address this. There are already royalties paid for gas that is exported.
People like to say,
well, we're going to talk about what the income tax is paid or what this excise is paid, but they ignore the fact there are other taxes or other royalty arrangements paid to states.
So, do you think these big multinational companies, though, are paying enough tax?
Well, there will never be a time that I've ever found in Australian history where people don't think that large companies and multinationals are not paying enough. What we need is investment to get the fuel to fuel the Australian economy. That's expensive. We need to make it attractive to get that investment, because the big risk, as we've seen with things like oil in Australia, is we have none of that done domestically really anymore. And then in the middle of a fuel crisis, everybody turns around and says, why don't we have enough domestic sovereign supply of fuel?
But does it bother you that Australia gets more taxes from beer, which is a headline that has really concerned a lot of people around Australia, than it does from the biggest gas exporters in the world?
The challenge is that that's simply not true. That we're looking at one specific tax rather than the full spectrum of taxes that are paid, as well as royalties.
But you've got economists, like Chris Richardson, saying this PRRT, the Petroleum Resource Rent Tax, initially was a great idea, but it's failed and it's not keeping up and we're not getting as much money as we could be. It could be billions and billions of dollars a year, $17 billion annually, according to some estimations. Are we missing out here?
Well, gas currently pays about $21.9 billion worth of tax, so that's in excess of the number you put forward.
But we're talking specifically about the PRRT, which is the tax that, you know, a lot of people have been talking about and saying needs reform. Do you think we need to be looking at this area? Because, you know, we've got some of your colleagues, like Andrew Hastie, saying the Liberals should be open-minded to increasing taxes on gas companies. Do you agree with him?
Well, there are always going to be times where we're looking at taxes and seeing what's most effective, because there's a worst-case scenario, which is we don't get any gas extracted, so we don't get anything paid through the PRRT. Remember, Labor introduced a mining tax in 2010. I know for a lot of listeners, that's a long time ago. They introduced this whopping new tax, and what it did was raise nothing, because what it did was stifle investment, discourage activity. We don't want that. You've got to get a sensible balance so you're getting people building industries that grow the prosperity of Australia, that pay tax and contribute to the welfare of the country.
So was it wrong of your leader, Angus Taylor, to rule it out then? If you've got to consider everything, as you're saying, and make a decision down the track, is it not the right thing for Angus Taylor to just say, no, we're not doing that?
All Angus Taylor said was, if you tax something, you'll get less of it. That's a pretty basic principle in economics. So if you actually want to incentivize industries to grow, you don't add layer upon layer upon layer of regulation and taxation. We want an industry that's viable and sustainable to support sovereign supply, but also, of course, has to pay tax.
What about winding back the capital gains tax discount and negative gearing concessions?
Well, again, if you tax something more, you will get less of it. I want more houses built. I want more young Australians to have a chance to buy their own home.
So if you ruling out any changes to those, capital gains tax discount, negative gearing concessions. I mean, people are really interested in this stuff, and they do want their politicians to answer the questions and know what they're standing for on these very specific issues. Can you say whether you, as the shadow treasurer, support winding back the capital gains tax discount or negative gearing concessions?
I've consistently said my focus is on making sure young Australians pay less income tax. Increasing taxes on other people doesn't achieve that. Working towards lowering income tax does achieve that. That's where my focus is.
All right, Shadow Treasurer Tim Wilson, thank you very much for joining us on Hack.
Thanks for having me.
And we've still got a lot of messages coming through on this. Someone saying, okay, well, Tim didn't actually answer if gas companies are being taxed enough. Another person saying, I would have thought using public transport would be heaps cheaper than driving anyway. People may even get used to it. That person talking about what to do during this fuel spike. Another person saying this issue is fed by the climate crisis, monopoly of large companies and bad policy. All my friends are talking about the fear of what is next and the impact it's having on our everyday lives. Another person saying our resources should be taxed for our benefit, not company profits. Another person saying the time is right to give a strong EV purchase subsidy to all Australians. Stimulate the renewable energy industry, take the opportunity. And another person saying, does a single politician on either side of the aisle have a basic high school level understanding of supply and demand? Or are we doomed to suffer slogans for eternity? And yeah, we know this is an issue that is continuing to have effects on people across the board. Every time we bring up fuel on Hack, we hear about how you're doing it tough, how you're not leaving work, you're sleeping over at people's places, you're walking just to try and save a bit of money. We will keep you across the updates as they come. Remember, subscribe to this podcast. We always have deep dives, big interviews as well, dropping every week. And go follow us on socials at Triple J Hack on TikTok and Instagram. I'll catch you next time. Hack.